I'm not going to have my voice cut out like that. But praise the Lord, we have the solid rock to stand upon. So good to be here. So good to see everybody. So good to pray and to fellowship and to worship. And let's take our copy of the scripture, or if you don't have your copy with you, it's printed inside your bulletin. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Whether we think about it consciously or not, many of us exhibit a substantial amount of faith every day as we go through life. Most of us, I'm sure, as we got up this morning, ate some kind of breakfast, whether, you know, whatever it was. But we exhibit a certain amount of faith when we do that. Because whatever it is we're eating, we're trusting that the people who made it properly. We're trusting that the people who are in the factories or, you know, in the bakeries making the bread or whatever it is, we're trusting and having faith in the fact that they are following all of the procedures that they're supposed to in order to keep food safe, in order to make it properly, in order to package it properly, and in order, even as it's shipped, to make sure that it's in the right condition so that it arrives where it's supposed to in a condition where it can be usable and it doesn't make people sick. And then all of us exhibited some measure of faith by getting out on the roads this morning. Talk about every time you go out on the road exhibiting faith. We are taking at face value and having faith in somebody who's sitting behind the wheel of another car that somewhere along the line they actually took a test to get a license. Now, many of that probably, we question that along the way, noticing the way that they're driving, but we trust that at some point some examiner said, yes, you have some degree of ability to actually drive this car. And we're trusting that as we're going down the road at 25, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, and they're coming the other direction in that same speed, we're trusting that they are going to heed by the laws and not cross over that little yellow line that keeps us separated. Now, how much faith does that take? We do exhibit a lot of faith. If we leave here and we perhaps go someplace to eat, we exhibit a certain amount of faith that those who are preparing the food are taking the precautions to prepare it properly. Though it's taking more and more faith these days, we take by faith that when we put a stamp on a letter and drop it in a mailbox, or we might actually get mail each day. We used to take that by faith, but now not so much. But you see, every time that we go through life, we're taking a lot of faith and a lot of things for faith, that other people are doing things that we cannot see. None of us are there watching the people making the food or in the factories, watching them produce the food to know that it's safe. We're taking by faith that they're doing that. We have a lot of faith in other people, but at times it can be challenging to have faith in God. Even though we can't see Him, and we know that He's faithful, at times our faith is challenged. Consider this challenge to somebody's faith. There was an Olympic gold medalist by the name of Daryl Pace who was giving an archery exhibition in New York's Central Park, and the event received coverage by all of the news stations. Shooting steel-tipped hunting arrows, Pace punctured bullseyes without a miss. Then he called for a volunteer. All you have to do is hold this apple in your hand, waist high. An ABC correspondent took the bold step forward. He stood there, a small apple in his hand, a larger one in his throat. Pace took aim from 30 yards away as we all held our breath, then thwack. A clean hit that exploded the apple before striking the target behind. Everybody applauded Howell, who was all smiles, until his cameraman approached with a hangdog look, as it says. I'm sorry, Josh. I didn't get that. Had a problem with my viewfinder. Could you do it again? Are any of us going to have the faith to do that again? We live in the realm of faith. And I know that we trust God and we have faith in God. And so this message is simply a reminder of what it is to have simple faith. And I think that in this passage in Hebrews that we can find three ways in which simple faith exhibits itself. And so let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1 through verse 6. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What are the three ways that simple faith manifests itself in our lives? First of all, simple faith in the first three verses. Simple faith is a faith that trusts. The author of Hebrews begins this chapter with one of the most familiar passages in the New Testament, if not all of Scripture, the one that we hold on to. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Another translator renders the verse this way, and I like the simplicity of the words. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I like the way that it just simplifies and takes those larger, important theological words and just makes it so I can understand it. So it's simple. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's assurance. It's also rendered, I think, substance in some of the other versions. The idea is that when I am sure of something and I have confidence in something, that knowledge is with me. It is something that I can hold on to. I have that assurance in my heart. And I'm sure of something. I have confidence in something. And that confidence and that knowledge is within me. When I'm confident and believe in something, I know it and I can feel it inside of me. I have that confidence. And then there's that certainty, that inner conviction, that we are convinced that the things that we are unable to see when evidence is lacking. That's how we believe in God, right? When we don't see necessarily God himself, we trust in what we know about God. We have a certainty and we have an assurance. It's by the simple faith that we trust that the world, that the universe was formed by God's command, by the word of God, right? We read from the very beginning of the scripture that we read and we hold on to and we cherish that God created. And so here in scripture in verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds, that the ages, that the universe was formed by God's command, by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We trust in that, don't we? We trust that when we look around, that we see God's creation, that God created this, and we have that assurance, and we have that certainty. We hold on to it, and we know that in our hearts that knowledge is true, and that even though we may not be able to see God, we see what God does, and we see what God has done, and we can trust in God. Paul puts it this way in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have what? Have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When we look around and we see creation, we see God's handiwork. We see evidence of God, and we trust God because God is trustworthy, and because we trust His word and we trust what He has done. There's a German theologian back in the 16th century who wrote in a statement of his personal faith. And in the beginning of that statement, he said, "True faith, created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, is a knowledge and a conviction." That's true faith in us, is that we have a knowledge and we have a conviction that God is who He says He is, and that He indeed is trustworthy. That everything that we see is a revelation, that God reveals Himself to us through that. Oswald Sanders writes about faith when he says that faith is a tremendously active principle that always puts Jesus Christ first. The life of faith says, "Lord, you have said it. It appears to be irrational, but I'm going to step out boldly." That's a faith that trusts. It may not seem to make sense, but because of God, it makes sense. And that's a faith that trusts. That's a simple faith. We come to God believing that He is, and we simply trust Him because He is God. Faith is the entire person in the right relationship with God through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We trust that God sent Jesus. We trust that God is true to His word. We claim those promises. We're standing on the solid rock. We claim the promises that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We claim the promise that eternal life is through Jesus and Jesus alone. We claim the promise that when we look around and we see that God has created this universe, that it is indeed God who has done it. We know that God is near to those who are brokenhearted and those who are mourning. We know that God can assist us and give us power to do all things through Him, through Christ who gives us strength. We hold on to the promises of this word of God, and we trust in it. And when we trust in it, that's simple faith. That's how He wants us to live. It talks in Matthew 17 about having the faith of a mustard seed. When we trust in God, that's simple faith. It starts with trust. We trust in God, we trust in His word, we trust that God and what He said is true, and we trust in God that He's going to be true to His word, that He's going to never leave us nor forsake us, and He's never going to contradict what His word says. A simple faith is a faith that trusts. In contrast, the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. Like that, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. Sometimes God asks us to jump, and we trust in Him because we know where we're going to land in Him. Faith that trusts. But in addition to faith, that trusts. It's also faith that saves. Hebrews 11, 4 and 5. The author... Yeah, might have added some dramatic effect, but... The author of Hebrews uses two examples of faith, Abel and Enoch. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, and it wasn't the substance of the offering that was important. It was the heart of the one who was giving the offering. God confronts Cain because his attitude towards God was sinful. He was angry. He was downcast. And the content of Abel's sacrifice not only had to do with Abel's what he gave, but how he gave it. And the scripture says that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Doesn't that sound like our Savior? Though he is dead, we know that he's not dead. He is alive and he still speaks. And then Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. In Genesis 5, we find that Enoch, it says, walked with God. And then he was no more. Everyone else in that genealogy, it says, and then he died. Enoch walked with God. He lived a life in which he told God everything. Isn't that what it is to walk with God? We think of that song, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. He's telling us and we're telling him to walk with God. When we have the ability to walk with him and to share with him our lives, and he shares with us what we need to hear. He lived a life in which he told God everything. He loved God, and he was commended as one in Scripture who pleased God, and in doing so, the Scripture says he was kept from dying. If we can catch the door, please. Abel's heart was right before God. Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God. And because Abel's heart was right with God, though he is dead, he still speaks. And Enoch was taken up. This picture of salvation, isn't it? He never died. He walked with God, and he didn't see death. That is part of our simple faith. Is a faith that saves. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of works. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Our faith is a faith that saves. A faith that we trust that what God said is true, and we trust that Jesus lived and died, was resurrected, and is coming again. It is a faith that saves. The other part of that personal faith statement from that theologian back in the 16th century, he wrote the following. He said, "True faith created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything that God revealed in his word is true, but also a deep-rooted assurance that not only others, but I, too, have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation. These are gifts of sheer grace earned for us by Christ." That is a faith that saves. Simple faith. It's a faith that trusts. It's a faith that trusts in the Word of God. It's a faith that trusts in God himself, that everything he says in his Word is true, and that we will believe it and we will take it at its Word, and we will trust in him. Even when we might not be able to see what's on the other side, we trust in the God who has created, and we trust in the God who has provided his Word. And we also, it's a faith that saves. We believe that Jesus came, he died, he was buried and resurrected, and he was sacrificed in our behalf. And it's a faith that saves when we place our faith and our trust in him. For by grace have we been saved through faith. And that faith is Jesus. Jesus is the object of that faith. Simple faith is a faith that trusts. Simple faith is a faith that saves. And simple faith is a faith that obeys. Verses 6, even extending into verses 8 and 9, the next examples of simple faith are two that we know. Noah. So the scripture says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And then in verse 8, Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham. The important thing to remember in both of these is that God spoke. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things to come, we remember that God communicated with Noah, this is what you need to do. And it made absolutely no sense at the time, but he believed God, and he trusted God, and he obeyed God. And he went and did it. And by the very same way, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, called by who? Called by God, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. These are just two of the multiple examples throughout Scripture of simple faith when people heard God's voice and they had faith in God and they obeyed. When God speaks, what we do next really defines what our faith is all about. If we hear God clearly and he's saying to do something, what we believe, what we do next really defines what we believe. Do we have faith? Will we obey even when we can't see what's on the other side of the wall? Even when we can't see how it's going to work out? Even when we can't see all of the answers? There is no way that Noah would have known what that ark was going to look like other than the plans that God gave him or what that was going to look like. And it seemed ridiculous at the time, but he obeyed. Abraham obeyed and took his son. And I can't imagine what that was like. But he obeyed and had faith that God was going to provide. Simple faith is connected to obedience. If we trust God and his word, we trust what God says to us and will obey him. And sometimes that's the biggest challenge of the simple faith, is the step of obedience. Yes, we trust the word of God. We believe everything he says. We don't doubt at all what God has said in his word. We certainly hold on to and trust in the faith that saves, that by grace have we been saved through faith, and we place our faith and our trust in Jesus, and we know that we have hope and eternal salvation in him, and know what Jesus did for us at the cross. And then God says, go do this. And we say, God, I don't know, can I trust you? Not asking whether you trust me, I'm asking whether you'll obey me. Because you already said you've trusted me. You've trusted me with your eternal life in Christ. You've trusted me in believing that everything I've said is true. If you can believe that I've created the universe, and now you can believe that Jesus came and died for you, believe that when I tell you to go do something, you should do it. That's simple faith. Those three principles. Faith that trusts, faith that saves, and faith that obeys. Henry Blackaby, in his materials on experiencing God, He says, regardless of the morality of your life, the good works you perform, the words you speak, or the sacrifices you make for his sake, if you do not have faith, you will not please him. It can be tempting to substitute religious activities for faith in God. Christians may claim that they are being good stewards of their resources when in fact they are wanting to walk by sight rather than by faith. They may refuse to do what God tells them unless they can see all the resources in place first. You may say, I love God, but I have difficulty trusting him. Then you are not pleasing to him. You cannot struggle at the core of your relationship with God and still enjoy a vibrant fellowship with him. Faith does not eliminate problems. Faith keeps you in a trusting relationship with God in the midst of your problems. Faith has to do with your relationship with God, not your circumstances. Some may say, I'm not much of a person of faith. I'm more of a practical person. Yet you will never do anything more practical than to place your trust in the Lord. Nothing is more secure or certain than that which you entrust to God. A faith that trusts, a faith that saves, and a faith that obeys. That is the faith that is the victory that overcomes the world. How's your simple faith? Where is your faith at this morning? Let's start with the faith that saves. Do you believe when Jesus said that he came and he died and sent his son Jesus to die, that he rose from the dead, and because of that, and we place our faith in him because of his grace, that we have eternal life? That's the foundation of faith, is right there, is the faith that saves. Do you trust that everything that he is saying in his word is true? And perhaps the most challenging, do we have a faith that is obeying? Is there something that God is telling us to do, telling you to do, and telling me to do, that he's saying, this is what I want you to do, and you know clearly it's God saying you need to do it, and yet you haven't taken that step? How is God and his Holy Spirit working in your heart and your life through this message and through this word? For some, it's salvation. For some, it's learning to continually trust. And for some, it's the step of obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yeah, Lord, I trust you. I'm not sure how much I want to obey what you're telling me. Pray that during this time of invitation that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak with you, to confirm and affirm the salvation that we have in Christ, to continue to grow and trust in him, and to obey everything that he's told us to do, that he might be honored and glorified through that. When we do that, we will have a wonderful display of simple faith in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we trust and we place our faith that even though we didn't see Jesus personally, that we trust in the faithfulness of your word and trust in the faithfulness of those who recorded it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that every single word that's printed about Jesus is true, and that we can have faith and confidence that when we come to Christ with humble and broken hearts and say, please save me, that he has and he will. Father, I'm so grateful for those who have taken that step, so many in our congregation, perhaps even everybody here that has trusted in Jesus, But Father, if there is anyone who is uncertain about whether or not they have placed their complete faith and trust in Jesus, Father, may this time of prayer and invitation be an invitation to examine our hearts. Father, continue to help us to trust in your word and to trust in what we see of you in nature and in creation and in the transformation that we see in people who have trusted Jesus and in what you have done in our lives. Father, when we have entrusted our life to you, you have transformed it in such a mighty and powerful way. And Father, if there are some here today who are reading your word and there's a commandment in there or a principle in there that we have not yet obeyed, Father, lead us this day to step out in faith and to obey, knowing that you are able and that you will guide us, that you will lead us, you will protect us, and Father, you will be honored as a result. Father, thank you for making faith so simple. Help us always, Father, to live in a childlike faith that simply trusts in the one who loves us. These things we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.